Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tuesday night office hours. We are here until 8 p.m. Central Time. And so for the next 2 hours, I will just randomly coach whoever raises their hand. And I'll call you up in the order that Zoom puts you in. If you have questions that, you know, are pretty easy to answer and you don't want to be coached, you can throw them in the Q&A. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, you can talk in the chat. And let's see, you can also use Ask Coaches if I don't get to you, or if you have a follow-up question to our coaching. So if you want to be coached tonight, just go ahead and raise your hand and we can get started. Lee, you're first. Oh my gosh, the hand is new. Zoom had an update, so I'm hoping it doesn't give me any crazy question, any craziness here. Hello.
Hello. I have clothes on, don't worry. There's just not a lot of them.
You know what? It's just up to you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I just got a hot yoga, but I wanted to hop on before it got crowded. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was a weird day, man. I had to kill a bird that fell out of a nest and got paralyzed because all the children were freaked out about it. It's been strange. So now I'm all discombobulated for the call. But I guess things have been going well. I don't know. I'm having sort of like a, does any of this have any meaning kind of feeling? Because I feel like I'm showing up for the stuff and I feel like I'm getting momentum, but then there are these moments during the day where I'm just like, there's not really no payoff for any of this, the writing, the weight loss, the working out, right? Except that I get to be more awesome, but then I'm going to die and there's no, I just don't feel like there's any bigger purpose to like all of this, these daily pursuits that I'm working so hard on.
Okay.
I mean, they're satisfying in the moment. And I do like that I'm no longer a person who turns to food when things get hard. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I don't know. Everyone's always talking about their higher purpose and their compelling reasons. And mine don't feel so superficial to me.
Well, that's judging your compelling reasons. They don't feel good enough to you? Why?
I don't know. Because I don't have like children to set an example for, or
so?
It's just me and the computer, me and the dining hall. Like it's all, it, they feel so, sort of like narcissistic.
So, wow. So what's wrong with that? Seriously.
I don't know. Cause I guess like when I die, like there's like me having spent my whole life improving myself will have no tangible impact on the world.
Oh, there's a thought. How do you know?
I mean, I guess I don't, but I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like maybe I'd be happier if I would tie some of this like weight loss work to something more important. Like, you know, like the way that, because what's cool about what you and Corinne do is that every time you figure out something about your own personal weight loss journey, you then like help thousands of women feel good. Mm-hmm. Right. Which is super cool, but I don't have that kind of like reach.
Okay. So tell me what your reach looks like.
Well, I'm a college professor.
Okay. So who do you impact every day?
Well, my students, but that's about, but I don't impact them about like weight loss.
So what do you impact them on? What do you teach?
Thinking of rhetoric. So I mostly teach them how language influences the reality.
Okay. Why is that important? Why do you teach it?
Oh, I think it's super important. Well, it's similar to like what we talk about, which is like how you choose to think about things or talk about them is what they are.
Okay.
So teaching them what choices they have to make better realities is like 80% of what I do.
And you don't think you have an impact? How many students do you have?
Oh, I have like 60 advisees. I probably have, I don't know, 300 or 400 a semester.
All right. So 300 or 400 people a year. Yeah. You're teaching the impact of words too,
yes.
Basically. Right. And you don't think you're having an impact on society?
No, I do in work, but I don't understand how like me going to hot Pilates or me like eating 2 to 2 every day. Cause I'm at a weight now where I could be impactful in the, cause I get it. Cause there is a threshold where when you're so unhappy with yourself and so overweight, because I've been there, you just like can't show up right. But I'm at the point now where like I'm thin enough and healthy enough that I am showing up pretty well every day. Like I'm having trouble finding the next 15 pounds, like, you know, because I feel like I can show up good enough now. So why keep 1%ing when it doesn't seem to be having any?
Okay. So why not decide you're in maintenance?
I've thought about that. The only thing I keep coming back to is that like I've never been this thin, and there are parts of me that I'm obviously like not, there are parts of me that I don't know. So if I don't know those parts, maybe those are the parts that could help me have a bigger impact.
Okay.
Right. But by not sitting in the discomfort of the 1% level up, I don't get to know myself better. And so who knows if those parts are not going to have some kind of amazing.
They might, and they might not.
I think that's right? What I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So what?
I don't know.
If you just boil it down to what Lee wants, do you want to lose 15 more pounds and see what you can do?
Yes.
Then isn't that good enough? Because this is what I want. How much more compelling can it be than this is what I want?
Yeah, maybe I also just need to give myself permission that like it's okay to just do things because I want to do them.
Yeah.
Because I guess maybe that's it. I keep thinking there has to be some kind of bigger reason for it, but I really can't think of a better reason other than I just want to see if I can do it and I want it. And I do think it'll have tangible benefits on my life. And, you know, who knows how that's going to spill over. Also,
have you ever seen, isn't there a movie or something? Maybe somebody in the chat can fill it in. There's some kind of movie or show or something that's been on TV that kind of shows the impact one person has on the world in a given day.
They've done that in a couple of different sliding. Yeah, no, that's not quite it. But I know exactly the kind of like motif you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Foreign stuff.
So
yeah, and how you never know, like that Crash movie's kind of like that, right?
Yeah.
How all their lives keep intersecting, but you would never know that you had the impact on people.
Right. I'll never know the impact I have on people. I mean, I'm talking to you right now, okay?
Well, you have a huge impact on people, though. They tell you that all the time.
Yeah, but seriously, I can tell you that I sit in this office in these four walls with this door closed, and I go to work just like everybody else and do my thing, and it takes effort for me to think about the impact that I have. And it's not just in work. It's at the grocery store or on the greenway or at church or, you know, whatever it is. How I show up in the world doesn't just impact P&P, right?
Everyone's just writing how much impact you have in the chat right now.
But this is what I want for you to see for yourself. If you don't feel good about yourself, what kind of aura
Or
do you have? What kind of presence do you have in the world? Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, this has gotten a little bit bigger than compelling reason, but if you bring it back to that, and it's just you want to be the best person you can be because you want to show up your best in the world. That's nothing wrong with that reason at all.
I did just realize there's actually a thought underneath the thought, which is actually the worst thought, which is I have noticed recently that as I've gotten thinner and healthier, and like I'm becoming one of those people who like skips dinner to go work out now just because I don't want to sit around and talk to people about eating and then watch them eat and then talk about how much we ate, that I feel less approachable. And I feel like that's going to make my impact worse because I don't know. I wouldn't describe Corinne as approachable, right? But she has the kind of vibe that I think I would like to have because she's influential. But for me, sometimes I have a hard time. I worry that like, as I keep leveling up, are people going to have like a harder time like approaching me because they think I won't be sympathetic or something to them. And then in that case, and I know these are all thoughts. So I'm kind of just thinking.
Yeah. They're all their thoughts that you're trying to give them. It's not just your thoughts. It's what you're projecting on other people.
Well, and some of it is.
Just because you skip dinner doesn't mean you're unapproachable.
No.
Just means you made a choice.
I have had some people comment because I'm away at work right now. They've said things like, oh, you're a lot less fun than you were last year. I had a friend say, you always get so mean when you get skinny. And I know none of them mean any of this. What they mean is like, you're changing. And then I'm having thoughts that are making me feel some kind of way about that. but I think it's kind of seeped in somewhere that, like, there are ways in which me losing weight and getting in better shape and just kind of overall being healthier, like, is gonna maybe negatively impact my influence, but that can't possibly be right. That can't possibly be a helpful thought or rational.
It's not. No, it's not. I mean, if you put that in the model, you know, my being thin is going to negatively impact. Now, yeah. What kind of model is that? What kind of result are you going to come up with, right?
Yeah, self-sabotage for an imaginary thought that, and then of course the same number of people that you're now people pleasing by, I don't know, giving up like working out during dinner, then there are like hundreds of people that maybe by you going and working out and feeling better, you would have helped. So
it's, yeah, if somebody's fussing at you because you're not a fun anymore because you work out instead of eat dinner.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, really?
I know.
They have a bunch of thoughts they need to work on too.
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing that's cool about this program is that every time you choose to sit in discomfort and not eat, you really do get to know yourself a little bit better.
Yes.
And then you become the kind of person that someone can talk to about anything and you have no judgment on them because you have just worked. So I judge people so much less now than I did 6 months ago, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can see their models working all the time. So, and you just have so much sympathy for them being in those.
Yeah, there's like, that. There's a little bit of empathy, but there's also so much awareness in your own mind of how you've done that work and that, you know, I find myself, I was with some family this weekend and you know, I really, when I get with family, I have to take the coach hat off. Okay. There's just no, right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I had a cousin and she was like, nee, 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 nee. And I was going, oh, I should really coach her. Oh no, I'm not coaching her. I was like, oh yeah. You know?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just have to let people be themselves.
Yeah.
And allow them to have their thoughts and just have a little compassion for where they are in the world. And that's
well, and Brooke had that really good podcast about returning models. And she, you know, she's right, because when you get good at the model, you start to notice when people are like giving you their models and you can return their models without also being like, you really shouldn't have said that. I mean,
right.
Yeah. I don't know how we got off on this, but okay. I'm sorry. This was sort of a spur of the moment. I don't really have anything to be coached on except I also just have trouble being, I'm good when the days are happy and when they're kind of, when I'm having my 50% negative day, I'm still having, I don't eat through it anymore, but I do have trouble bringing myself out of it.
Do you thought download about it? I mean, you could have asked yourself, why am I really doing this?
Yeah.
And see what comes up.
I thought download every morning about why I'll follow the plan today.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I can drum those up pretty fast, but sometimes, I don't know, maybe it's because it gets darker and you're kind of just worn out from the day. Maybe I need like a different thought download for the evening that kind of picks that up. Well, I'll think on that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I don't know if that's me or if that's you.
I don't know.
Let me try something here real quick.
What is there? Is there noise being made?
Sometimes if I'm on Wi-Fi instead of wired in, sometimes the connection gets a little weird. Okay.
Oh,
I find that my thought downloads at night are a whole lot different than the ones during in the morning. It's like I wake up in the morning and there's not a whole lot going on. Okay.
Yeah.
So I have to really drum up, you know, what do I want to do today? What's my intention for the day or whatever? If I thought download in the evening at bedtime, I tend to, it tends to be much more emotional. It's either very happy or it's sad or it's angry or it's, you know, rather than, okay, so today here's my list of things to do. It's much more real about what's going on in my brain because I've processed all day long and I've thought all day. So you might try that. You might, you know, just take five. I mean, I have my little be happy thing and I take it to bed with me. And for 5 minutes, I just write. And
yeah,
you know, that, that feels pretty good too.
I have a bad habit of only journaling prompts that are positive.
Yeah. Well,
I know. I'm like, that's nervous okay. About in October. Cause she talks about how we have to sit in like a negative feeling. And I was like, oh, I do not want to do that. Like, I want to pull myself out of those as fast as they come on.
Yeah.
I don't like them. So maybe I need to start journaling on some less than happy thoughts and see what happens, huh?
Probably. It'll help you resolve the less than happy.
I think so.
When you're 50% sad, you're not just grumpy all the time.
Right. Which is kind of where I am right now. Okay. Well, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll go look through Corinne's prompts and see if she's got anything good to get me started.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Kathy.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Cammy, you're next. Hi.
Hi there.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's good. Up?
Well, I am an April baby, and I am still trying to get my hunger scale in control.
Okay.
And it's more of some days I'm really good, and other days I am not hungry right away in the morning.
Sure.
And so it seems like on those days, my hunger comes on really quickly, like from 0 to -3 really fast. And then it seems like after that, I have a really hard time staying at a 0 and being feeling full and comfortable. And like today, it happened today, and they didn't eat until like 11:30. And now I've white knuckled all afternoon because I have continued to be hungry. And I don't know if it's hunger or if it is urges or a combination of both.
So tell me, at 11:30, what did you eat?
I had 2 eggs, and I had 2 pieces of bacon, and I had squash, and a half a piece of toast.
And when you finished, where were you on your hunger scale?
+2.
Okay. And when did you get hungry again?
2:30.
So that's 11:30 to 2:30.
Which isn't that far apart, I don't
think. No, it's well, if you eat to +2, a true +2, it's probably gonna take you about 4 hours. Okay, so you're at 3. What did you eat at 2:30?
A sandwich with chicken with a bunch of veggies, big ass salad.
Okay. What was on your salad? Chicken? What else?
Yep, chicken, and I had like the mixed greens, and I had for veggies, I had sweet peppers and cucumbers and onions and celery.
Do you have any dressing?
Yes. Yep. Any, Dorothy Lynch.
Any, is that, I don't know what that is. Is that full fat or fat free?
Full fat.
Okay. What about avocado or cheese or anything like that on your salad?
No.
Okay. So the sustainability factor was protein and salad dressing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And you ate to +2?
Yes. Yep.
And how long until you were hungry again?
About 4:35.
Okay. So we're down to 2 or 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. What else was going on at 4:30 and 5 o'clock today?
Well, I will say between 2 and about 5 is always my hard time. That is always my time where I have a ton of urges. I don't have urges at night or eat at night, like after supper. Mm-hmm. It's that time frame that I really struggle.
Okay. So what else was going on during that time today?
Easy day at work.
Easy day at work. Mm-hmm. So your brain wasn't terribly occupied then?
No.
Easy day at work.
No.
Okay. So the urges might have seemed a little bit louder. By the way, that's also my time. I'm not an after dinner eater, but 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm ready to eat.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm hungry or not. So I get this. So that's why I'm asking you. So if my brain is distracted, I don't think about eating. But if I'm just doing, I don't want to call it nonsense work, but work that doesn't take a lot of brain power, then I'm like, I think I should have a snack. Oh, no, wait, I'm not really hungry. Well, maybe I am hungry. And I start having this conversation. So I get you. Mm-hmm. So at 4:30, what did you eat?
I haven't had supper yet.
Oh, you haven't had, but you started getting hungry. Are you, what time zone are you in?
I'm in central time zone. Central. So it's 6:20 now.
So you feel like you've been hungry for 2 hours? Or do you feel like you've had urges to eat for 2 hours?
Urges to eat for 2 hours.
Okay. So not physically hungry.
Mm-mm. Well, I drank water and that kind of calmed it down. And now I'm hungry again. But it's about time we usually eat supper.
And it's about 4 hours, right? Mm-hmm. Since you had your lunch. So that would be about right. Chances are when you had that water, you either had a suggestion to eat because it was an urge or you were just thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because thirst will mask as hunger sometimes, especially if you're a little behind on your water for the day. Your body will ask for water and it feels like hunger. That's why we do that on the clock challenge. So do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Where we say first signs of hunger, have a bottle of water and wait for an hour.
Yes.
That's so you can start to differentiate the thirst signals from the hunger signals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, where are you on your hunger scale now?
At 2.
At minus 2?
Minus 2, yes.
Okay. Yep. How long have you been at minus 2?
That's what's hard to differentiate, because I was hungry at like 4:30, but I've kind of waxed and waned in and out of hunger.
It's exactly what it does. Do you know why it does that?
Because it goes in, and when I don't feed it, then it feeds on my own fat.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's what you wanted to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
This is where you can see a little bit of hunger and not feel and feel that discomfort and not feed it and feel really good about it.
That's true.
I mean, think about it. This is where discomfort becomes a good thing, right? Rather than a, oh my gosh, I got to eat. Oh no, I'm uncomfortable. What if sitting in discomfort at minus 2 for an extra hour is actually empowering, because you know you're going, okay, if you'll just take a little bit off this right hip right here, we'll be good. We'll be good for another hour. And then next time, how about, you know, off the left hip? That would be good too, right?
Okay. So maybe like this morning, because I was hungry, I didn't eat till, like I said, 11:30, but I was hungry around 9, mm-hmm. and then I was busy with work stuff. And then, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes later, I'm like, oh, it's gone. So then that's why I didn't eat. So that makes sense.
So could you have eaten at 9:30 if you were truly physically hungry at minus 2? Of course you could. We're not trying to tell everyone that you shouldn't eat when you're hungry.
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. What I am telling you, though, is that just because you're hungry, you don't have to eat. Hunger is not an emergency. You don't have to drop everything and say, oh my gosh, it's minus 2, I got to eat.
You know, that's where I did for 20 some years. I never, ever sat in hunger before. So it's interesting for me, because I never did that.
Right. And the other thing is, you probably didn't differentiate physical hunger from emotional hunger.
No.
So you thought an urge or a suggestion to eat or a little bit of stress eating was real hunger. So you fed it, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
So now what you're doing is you're taking this hunger scale and you're trying to decide if it's true physical hunger, rather than feeding because you're bored or because it's time or because it's 2 to 5 and it's my witching hour and, you know, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So, to me, you have just described how to use the hunger scale properly.
Okay.
So why do you think it's not under control?
Because on days that seems like when I eat breakfast first thing in the morning when I get up, if I'm hungry then, or if I know I'm going to be busy throughout my morning hours where I don't have time to eat, I'll eat something. Mm-hmm. I feel more stable throughout the day than I do when I wait until later to eat breakfast.
How do you think you feel more stable?
I don't know.
Because you're not letting yourself get hungry.
Okay.
That's what I would bet.
I bet it is too.
You're probably getting a little bit nervous about being hungry.
I do. When I get to a plus 4, that makes complete sense. Because when I get to a plus 4.
Minus 4.
Or I'm minus 4, I mean, right. When I'm super hungry,
mm-hmm.
then I do get nervous.
Yeah. And you eat too fast and you overeat because you eat too fast. Rather than saying, okay, I'm at minus 4. My stomach is still the same size as it would have been at minus 2. I'm just going to eat this. You have to pay attention to it. When you're at minus 4, you have to be so intentional about eating. So mm-hmm. you're not cramming it in so fast that you overeat.
That's true.
That's when you focus really in on your food. When you employ all those little techniques, like putting your fork down between bites and, you know, eating with your non-dominant hand just to slow yourself down so that you don't get to the end of your meal and go, oh, wow, not only is it gone, but it's like I'm at plus four now, right? Because that's what will happen if you're not careful. But you have to, what you remind yourself in those moments, those minus four moments, is that I'm okay. My food's right here. Everything's just fine. I'm not going to starve to death. You know, in fact, I still have some on the right hip. We can go after that for a minute too. But okay. That's probably what it is. It's not that you don't understand your hunger scale. It's that you're getting nervous about it. You're getting nervous because you're afraid of getting too hungry.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good TDL.
Yeah, that's a beautiful TDL, because honestly, when was the last time you had to forage for food?
Never.
Never. And what happens is our primal brain gets engaged, like, you know, oh my gosh, we're hungry, fight or flight. You know, we better, you know, turn up all the stuff so we can find the food. And it's just not necessary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That helps a lot.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anything else?
Nope. That's it.
All right.
Thank you.
See you later. Okay.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Shirley, you're next. Hello.
Hi.
I can see and hear you.
Oh, okay.
You must be a techno wizard. You got it figured out.
Well, I'm a January.
Okay.
I have went through the mastering relationships, and I'm having an issue that is bothering me a lot.
Okay.
And I have spent many days trying to figure out how to handle this. It concerns my husband, and I know that I can't have a manual for how I think he should act, but I feel like that he is avoiding the time with me, and he's a dancer, so he goes out dancing quite a bit. And he has a partner. I have neuropathy and I'm not able to dance anymore. And he has spent a lot of time with this particular person on and off the dance floor. And I find that I'm jealous of the time that he spends with her. And I trust him, and he feels that when I say something that I'm not trusting him. And I do trust him, but I'm also jealous and lonely. And he told me that when I go to a dance, that he feels like that I'm chaperoning him. And so he would prefer that I not be there. And I try not to do that, and I try not to treat him unfairly, but the mental stress has been enough that I haven't lost weight. I was losing weight, and I haven't lost weight for a few weeks. And I think it's the mental, and I don't know quite how to handle this. I don't know quite where to go to realize that the problem is not him, it's me. And how I make this work for me again.
So what do you make it mean that he has about you, that he has a dance partner and that he is spending time with her and dancing and whatnot?
I make it mean that she's more important than I am.
Is that the truth?
He says it's not.
Okay, so let's do that. What's his name?
Skip.
Skip. Skip says she's not more important than you. That's your C line.
Right.
What's your thought about what Skip says?
Well, sometimes I believe him, but when he goes off on an event that doesn't include dancing, then I get those feelings of jealousy.
Okay, so you don't believe him.
I guess I don't, but I trust him.
Do you?
Yes. I dated him a long time, so I know how he was when we dated, and I do trust him that he wouldn't step over that line, but I think there's a line there of familiarity.
Okay, so if you trust him, why are you worried about this line of familiarity?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought about that.
And why, you know, jealous could be jealous of her, but it could also be jealous of him being able to dance and you not, you know.
Yes.
Just
yes.
Being, I from what you've described, the jealousy comes more from the loneliness aspect of it. You're jealous that he's out and about and doing things, right?
Right. Yes.
But this trust issue is one that I really think you need to look at. Okay? And okay. Trust is not... Trusting him is a feeling that you generate within yourself from a thought.
Yes.
Okay? And so you understand the whole model. You know, he said... You know, that's not true. She's not more important than you are. But your thought is, I don't always believe that. So that feeling is distrust.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So you have to work on that belief. Is that the belief you want to continue to cultivate?
No.
Okay. So how can you level that up? How can you level that thought up?
Leveling it up by looking at the things that I know he does. I mean, the things that are truly him. Mm-hmm. Believing what he says.
Yeah.
Taking it at full value.
You can be, you can decide that you want to look for the ways that you can trust him. You want to look for the thoughts that lead you to a feeling of trust in your relationship, right?
Right.
So your thought might be, I'm open to believing that I am important to him. I am the most important woman to him, or however you want to phrase that.
Right.
I'm
right.
Learning to believe that I am the most important woman in his life.
Yes. Yes.
You can also say, I don't always believe him, and that's a thought I think sometimes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's where I would go with this for you. I would start leveling up this, I don't believe him. Because if he is telling you, you are as important, you are the most important person to me, then, and you don't have a reason to disbelieve that. You just have a bunch of thoughts in your mind about what's going on.
Right, right.
Not going on. You're creating.
Creating my own thoughts. Yes.
You're creating your own drama about this. Drama is a collection of stories in your head.
Right.
That are usually unsubstantiated.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's where I would go with on this for you. I would, I would really look at, go back and work that relationship course again.
Okay.
Look at those kinds of, those kind of leveled up thoughts
Right.
Relationship with him.
Okay.
And as far as going to watch him, have you ever asked him, you know, Skip, I just love watching you dance. You don't mind if I come tonight, do you?
Right.
Right. Uh-huh. Rather than just showing up, you know.
Right. Going,
I know she doesn't trust me.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I really think once you let some of that angst go and you show up in the because what this does, when you have some distrustful thoughts about him, it kind of shows up in how you show up in your relationship.
That's very true. That's very true.
You probably look at him sideways. There's probably things that you do in that action line when you're not believing what he's telling you. When you decided you can't believe what he's telling you.
Right.
Right?
I do. I can tell that I get angry faster, or I say something like, you should have been home at 10 o'clock and it's 10:15. Where were you? Mm-hmm. And that's saying I don't trust you.
Yeah.
You're right.
Okay.
Thank you. The other
thing I want you to look at is how you feel about yourself in the relationship.
Okay.
Okay, because the way you show up in a relationship defines the relationship, not how he shows up.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
So make sure that you feel good about Shirley and about the work you're doing on Shirley, so that when you show up with him, you show up your best self.
Right. I will. Yes. Yes.
I like seeing you smile.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait to meet you at camp.
Oh, you're coming to camp in
August. Yes. Yes, I am.
I love this. Where are you coming
from? I'm so excited.
Where are you coming from?
Spokane, Washington.
Oh, my goodness. Long plane flight. That's wonderful.
Yes. Yes. I'm so looking forward to it. So excited.
I'm excited too. It's going to be amazing.
It is. It is. Thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome. If you have any questions as you go through that again or anything, just hop over to Ask Coaches or hop back on Office Hours. We're around, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Right. Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Jane? You're next. All right, y'all. Jane's the only one with her hand raised. So if anybody wants coaching tonight, raise that hand. I'm trying to unmute you. There we go. Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Well, I posted in the Facebook group and Mary Jo recommended I call in.
Oh, I think I know what this is about.
Yeah. So I joined in June, although I've been listening for a while to the podcast and, you know, was trying to do it on my own without much luck. And then I started in June. I started out pretty well, but then I mean, my pattern with most things is I hit this point of, I call it resistance, but it's kind of maybe even defiance of, you know, I'm going to do what I fucking want and I'm not going to do anything else kind of thing.
Okay.
So I went on vacation at the end of June and I had a hard time getting back in the groove when I returned, and I had a little success last week, but now I've kind of returned to this place of, I don't know. It's even embarrassed to say this to you because I'm like, okay, Jane, just write your plan, drink your water, get your sleep, and pay attention to your hunger scale. But I just, I think about doing it, and I just sit there, and I just don't do it. So I haven't reached out to ask for help because I kind of feel like I don't know what help can be given until I kind of get in the right mindset. But I'm going to bring it up anyway.
Oh, so you're testing me. Let's see how good this is, right?
I do test people. That is true. But
no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding with you. Tell me about your vacation. Tell me about your vacation protocol. Did you just, when you went on vacation, did you just eat all the things?
No. So I had, No, because I've heard enough about, you know, going on vacation. So my goal going on vacation was just not to gain weight. That was kind of how I went at it.
Perfect.
I'm still going to plan, but I'm going to allow myself to include on the plan things that I enjoy.
Okay.
While I'm at the beach.
Sure.
But after day four, I stopped writing it down.
Okay.
Started trying to do it all in my head.
Okay.
I did have one night of, you know, just doing whatever I wanted. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel, like, compared to other vacations, mm-hmm. I don't feel it was as bad.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So you leveled up vacation.
I did level up vacation.
Perfect. Okay.
For me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it was.
Let's not, you know, let's not judge. Okay. Yeah. Let's just talk data.
Okay.
All right. So you planned for four of the, I'm guessing it was a week long vacation, right?
Yes.
And that's the first time you'd ever done that. So that was a level up, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You paid attention to what you ate, even though it was in your head without writing it down. So that was probably a level up. So you came back from vacation. And what was going on in your mind?
I still did not want to write anything down.
Why not? Why didn't you want to?
I don't really know why. I know what's going on in my head.
Okay, what's going on in your head?
I don't want to do it.
Why not?
I don't want to do it. Why not?
Mm-hmm. If you had to guess, just take a wild guess.
Why don't you because I want to do what I want to do whenever I want to do it.
Right. Because I don't want to write it down. I don't want to pay attention. I want to eat all the things.
Yes.
Okay.
When I want.
Okay. Do you want that more than you want weight loss?
That's the thing. I think that when I was really focused on wanting the weight loss when I started, and then it comes to this point where I feel I want that more than I want the weight loss, which is, you know, I this is so hard. So I sat, because I'm at the point in the course of my compelling reason.
Now let's go, let's wait just a minute. Let's go back. Okay. Let's go back to this decision.
Yes.
I want to eat all the things versus I want to lose weight.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to do both.
Right. Oh, well, that's not possible. You have to pick one.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just do. We're just going to say, sorry, Jane. So in this moment right now, would you rather, how much weight would you like to lose? If you could just
how much weight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I could wave my magic wand and say, boom.
140 pounds.
All right. Do you want to lose 140 pounds? Or do you want to eat all the things?
I want to lose 140 pounds.
Okay. So that's the real answer. Even in those moments where you want to eat all the things, you have to remind yourself, all the things are not as important to me as being healthy and losing my weight. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what you're doing right now is totally normal. Okay. It is that point in weight loss where it just feels hard and it feels like it's so far away, right? 140 pounds, Kathy, that's going to take me. How long is it going to take me? Right. I mean, I just want to eat. I don't want to do this work anymore. It's hard. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you are. Right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, when you start crying, you know that eating all the things is not what you really want. So we just did this podcast today on being patient with yourself in your weight loss. And one of the ways to do that is to break it down into smaller chunks that don't seem so overwhelming. So one of the ways you could do that is to make a realistic plan for tomorrow. And decide what action steps you need to do to stay on plan. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that might be, and this is the, you're like, I don't want to plan, but Kathy, I don't want to plan. Well, I know you don't want to plan, but you also don't want to be overweight anymore because you mm-hmm. just told me that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So tell me what you ate today. What did you have for breakfast today?
I did not eat breakfast today.
Okay, breakfast. Zip. How about lunch? Did you have lunch?
For lunch, I had 2 pieces of pizza and a salad.
Okay. Did you have a snack?
I did not.
Did you have dinner?
Yes.
What did you have for dinner?
I had a big salad.
Okay. Did you have anything after dinner?
No. I ate that right before I got on the call.
All right. Did you have any beer or wine or booze or Cokes or anything other than, you know, water, tea, coffee to drink today? All right.
I did not.
So if you had
to have a glass of sweet tea.
Okay. Glass of sweet tea.
Yes.
So if you had created a plan this morning that said 2 slices of pizza and a salad for lunch, big ass salad for dinner, and a glass of sweet tea whenever I wanted it, mm-hmm. you would have fully executed your plan today. And it would have been that easy.
Yes.
Okay. So when you got up this morning, do you work outside the house?
I'm a teacher, so I'm off for the summer.
Okay. So when you got up this morning, you knew what was in the refrigerator, right? You knew you had the salad fixings. You knew did you have pizza in the fridge or did you order it?
It was leftover.
Okay. It wouldn't have been hard to create that plan, right? You probably were already forming it in your mind as you made your way around the house this morning. Thinking about, I mean, if you're like me, I'm eating one meal plan and the next one, right? Thinking about the next one. So I already know ahead of time what I'm going to eat. Mm-hmm. So why is that hard?
I mean, it's not hard. Mm-hmm. That is not hard. It's not hard. The excuse that's going on in my brain right now, though, is, but I wanted to be able to have a different option. You know, like I wanted to be, like, that's what's kind of going on.
That's what tomorrow's for. Mm-hmm. You get to create whatever plan you want for tomorrow. If it says McDonald's for lunch and dinner, you can put that on the plan. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to, like, lose 140 pounds by tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Just asking you to plan tomorrow. That way you're eating intentionally, right? Whatever it is you decide that you want to eat. So what's going through your head? You're like, are you still doing this? I don't want to do this.
No, I'm not. And I can do the plan. I guess I just get, when I just get left to my own devices, that's when, I don't know, like sitting here talking with you and, mm-hmm. you know, I think I can make a plan for tomorrow, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
Do you have an accountability partner?
No. Mm-hmm.
Do you want one?
I think one would help, but I've been afraid to kind of reach out for that just because of my pattern of kind of backing away. I just don't want to disappoint anyone or let anyone down.
Is there anybody on this call that would want to be Jane's accountability partner for 2 weeks? 2 weeks only. Give it a test run. How about that? 2 weeks. You think you can show up for 2 weeks making your plan? All you got to do is send it to whoever says, me, I'll do it. Oh, Kayla Costa, Jules. There's two of them.
Okay. Oh,
there's a third one. Look at that. We got a group. And these are women who've watched this call and know your heart. Right? So all you have to do is say, I don't, y'all hook up, figure out how you're going to talk to each other, whether it's by text or Facebook Messenger or whatever. Marco Polo, whatever makes you happy. Right? Start in the Facebook group. Somebody, one of y'all, post in the Facebook group and say, I was on the office hours with Kathy, with Jane. It's me. Let's do this group for 2 weeks. How do you want to do it? And y'all just figure it out. And then what you have to do every day is come back to that group and say, I did my plan today. I'm in it for me. I did my plan today because that's what I really want.
Okay.
Can you do that for 2 weeks? Heck, yes. Y'all might end up loving each other and be as big a hot group as the Hot Mess Express or one of the Lemons and all these other groups we got going on out there. Yeah. But you might not be too, and that's okay. Just show up for 2 weeks and see, and do your realistic plan for two.
Okay.
Because that was you in that thread, wasn't it? The realistic planning thread that Mary Jo tagged?
Today, yes. Yeah. That was me.
Okay. I thought that might be you. Super proud of you for showing up tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does your plan look like for tomorrow? You going to eat breakfast tomorrow?
Well, my breakfast, when I eat it, I usually have a protein shake.
Okay.
Complete shake thing with berries.
All right. So you'll put that out a plan for breakfast.
Yes.
Okay.
And for lunch, I am taking my mother and some kids to Applebee's.
Okay.
For lunch. Mm-hmm. So I need to find something to eat on their menu.
Or you can say on your plan, mm-hmm. Applebee's, best choice, or good choice, or whatever, to my plus two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
That way you don't have to stress yourself out looking it up or whatever. Because I know Applebee's has a good menu. They have a very wide menu, right?
Okay.
What
that is my lunch. And then for dinner again tomorrow, I think I made myself tonight, and partially it was because I knew I was getting on this call with you, a really nice salad. So I think I'm going to do that again tomorrow evening.
Tell me what a really nice salad looks like to you.
Well, for me, I love green olives. So salad with tomatoes, onions, green olives, and I put crunchy jalapenos on top.
Crunchy jalapenos?
Yes.
What are those?
They're like the fried onion things.
Yeah.
They're jalapenos. I look kind of like.
Holy cow, my husband would love those.
Yeah, I found them at a Sam's Club.
I'm going to have to look for those. But so they're like those onion straw things.
Onion straw things, but they're jalapeno.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been using crispy beets. No. No Candy Graham. No crispy beets. So that salad it's something you enjoy?
I do enjoy it. I put some pepperoni slices on top tonight too. Yeah. Protein.
So there's your plan for tomorrow. Not hard, right?
No. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So you started to ask about your compelling reason.
Yeah, because I was thinking that if I found my compelling reason, losing 140 pounds is a big compelling reason, but really trying to dig a little deeper, like, why do I really want to lose the weight? And so I listed 20 reasons, and I answered the questions that are part of the module, finding your compelling reason. Mm-hmm. And I still don't feel I've totally gotten to that yet.
Okay.
So I'm still working on that.
So what was the first reason you came up with? You know, when it said, why do you want to lose 140 pounds? What was the first reason?
I want to feel good in clothes.
Okay. Why do you want to feel good in clothes?
Because I want to feel good in clothes. I keep coming up with the same reason.
Do you feel good in your clothes right now?
No.
I feel good in mine. I got pajama pants on. Seriously. I can wear pajama pants at 150 pounds or at 250 pounds and feel good in them.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really the clothes you want to feel good in?
I guess I want to feel attractive in my clothes.
You want to feel attractive, period.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, we found it. You're crying. So what you're saying is you don't feel attractive now. And you want to be like Corinne, and you want to be a babe, right? That's Corinne's compelling reason. I don't want to look good.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that reason, especially if that's the one that gets you crying. So why are you crying? No, not allowed to say I don't know. That results in push-ups if you were around Corinne. So. let me just warn you.
Okay, good to know.
Yep.
So I'm sorry, what was your question again?
Why are you crying?
Why am I crying?
When I say you want to look good, and that's a great, compelling reason, why are you crying?
Why am I crying?
Just say it.
I mean, partly I think I'm crying because you're being nice. I know that's weird.
Usually when people are nice, they're happy. Let me guess why you're crying.
Why am I crying?
Because you don't like the way you look now. You probably feel some shame and some embarrassment because that's why you want to look better. Right.
Well, and I think I also just regret, I don't know if regret's the right word, but just what I've done to my body the last, 15, 20 years. I just... Okay.
Okay. So in order to not feel regret and feel all this, you just eat all the things so that you don't have to feel those things. Mm-hmm. And that is why you really want to lose weight. Right? So we'll talk about regret for just a minute. Regret is not helpful because it keeps you focused on the past.
The past.
On all the things you've done wrong. On all the things people have done wrong to you. Everything is regret, is all past oriented. What mm-hmm. can we change about any of that? Nothing. Zero. Because it's the past. Okay? So thinking about regret, it's just like I was telling Corinne the other day. I can't believe it's taken me 53 years to realize that I'm a coach. I was an accountant for 53 years. I can't believe it took me 53 years to get here. And she's like, why do you even say that? It took you 53 years to get to the person you are today, which means you take what you've learned and you move forward. That's the only good the past does for you, is teaches you what to do when you move forward. Okay? So think about how you can use what was in your past to learn from, to make today better or to make tomorrow better. And I know that sounds like, ooh, that's a reach, Kathy, but it's not. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because every day up to today has led to who you are right now. And who you are right now is a woman who wants to lose 140 pounds because she wants to feel good about herself. All right. So when did you start, Jane? June, April?
June.
So you're not through no BS yet, right?
No.
Okay. So here's your homework. For the next 2 weeks, you're hooking up with these ladies who I'm hoping one of them has posted in Facebook now so that you guys can connect. So go back into Facebook and look for them. So for at least 2 weeks, you guys are going to hook up. And you can do it right there in that Facebook thread. I mean, it doesn't have to be any harder than that. Just, say, do you know how to save a thread in Facebook?
Do I know how to save?
Save a post. You can actually save the post.
Okay.
Okay, and recall it. So there's like a little, at the top of the post on the right-hand side, there's like a little upside down or a V. You mm-hmm. just click that and hit save post, and then you can always go back to it.
Oh, okay. That's, I didn't know that.
That too. Okay. And then when you finish with no BS, you're going to plan for 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks. If you do 14, then you tell yourself, hey, that was easy. We're going to do another 14. Okay? Little chunks, right?
Yeah.
When you finish no BS, when Corinne says, okay, that's it, pick a course, I want you to do self-love.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. I have heard that it's a game changer for those of us who need to work on our own feelings of self-worth and self-image. Mm-hmm. Game changer.
Okay.
You glad you got on the call?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
You got anything else?
I think that's enough for now.
All right. Good deal. Okay.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye, Kat.
Okay, bye-bye. Jin, you're next.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I cannot see you.
I don't know how to make you see me. I can see you.
All right. Oh,
you just asked me to add. Okay.
I did.
And you're accessing my camera.
Got it.
And I can see me, but I'd rather see you. Oh, there you go. I don't want to see me. That's awkward.
That's funny. So yeah. What's going on?
So I'm your fellow beat hater.
Oh, beat haters unite.
We are. Oh my goodness. When I heard you say that on a podcast, I just knew I loved you instantly.
Let's just take a pause for a minute and I'll tell you why I hate beets. My father loved them. Okay. And so every now and then for dinner, my mother would make a beet salad, which was like iceberg lettuce, canned beets on top of the lettuce, and Thousand Island dressing. And I
might need a barf bag.
I'm serious. I would look at that and go, oh gosh, not again. Because I knew I had to clean my plate, you know. I mean, I grew up in that era.
Oh, me too.
That was, and I don't care if roasted beets are amazing. I'm not eating them.
I don't want to know. I don't even want to try.
No. That's right.
And my palate has changed so much over the years, you'd think something would have changed with beets, but no, not at all.
I haven't ate so much.
No.
Somebody says they taste like little purple balls of dirt. I'm with you.
That's me too. I'm with you too. Okay, so I'm a June baby.
Okay.
I joined the groupies in March, and I had a lot of momentum with the groupies, and so I got super psyched. Almost joined in April and got spooked again, so I backed off and went. And then I did that regret thing the next day, of course. I went, I should have joined. So I had to wait till June, and then I like told myself there's no backing out in June, right? I'm doing this. My problem is I think I started out with the diet mentality problem, and I think I've kind of worked hard on realistic planning, but I'm super focused right now, right? And this is what I do. I'm very competitive, and I get a challenge under my, I love this gift of fat challenge. I can't, you know, it's just, I'm super competitive. So I'm super focused right now, but I also know that my, over the last 20 years, because I was always like the exercise person. I was the size 6 girl that could wear all the clothes. Right. And when I got pregnant, I used it as an excuse to eat everything and anything, and all the things that I denied myself through all the years of being that fitness person, I ate and I gained. And so then while I raised my child, I did the same thing. I ate all the tater tots and the chicken fingers and the things that he was eating. And so I came up to like over 230. I stopped weighing at 230. I just couldn't see the scale anymore. I couldn't stand it. And that's not what I want to work on. What I'm calling about today is, I wasn't going to do this yet because I don't feel like I know enough yet to ask these questions, but I'm worried when I stop being competitive and super, super focused, right? Like right now I'm motivated. The scale is going little tiny ups, but lots more downs, you know? So it's seeing the trends the way I want it. So it's keeping me motivated, keeping me happy. I know I have a really good knowledge of food, right? Because I lived that my whole life before getting pregnant. I know what I'm supposed to be eating. So right now I'm like really good plans. I'm on plan over 80% all the time. I love making plans. I love, if I'm competitive enough with myself to follow them, you know, because I want to see it at the end of the day. My problem is I want to do the thought work, right? Mm-hmm. I want to do the mental part so that because all of that other part in the last 20 years was emotional eating, boredom eating. I don't know if it's really fuck it eating, but more like, well, if everybody else gets to have ice cream, I'm going to have ice cream, you know, entitlement eating, I guess I could call it. So I don't know when to do the recovery worksheets. Mm-hmm. I don't know when to do a 2-minute one instead. I don't know how to tell an off plan versus an overeat, because when I don't eat what I write down, I always eat better than what I write down because I'm guilty about not eating, not being in a place where I can eat what I wrote down.
Okay.
I don't know the difference between +2 and +3, like all these newbie things, right?
Okay. So let's take these one at a time.
Okay.
All right. First of all, I'm going to talk to you about thought work.
Okay. Well, yeah.
You've heard Corinne, I'm sure, talk about the model and the think, feel, act cycle.
Yeah.
It is a thing that what you think creates a feeling. And when you have a feeling, you do certain actions. Okay. That's the think, feel, act cycle. That's the middle of the model.
You have to know I'm taking notes because I'm not an auditory memory person.
That's okay. And you can always come back and listen to this. It'll post tomorrow.
Okay.
So when you're feeling competitive, right? Mm-hmm. It's because you have a thought.
Okay.
All right. When you feel competitive, you follow your plan, you check your data, you take your data, you do all those things. So all you have to do is figure out why you're feeling competitive. So why, when you have that competitive feeling and you're doing those things, why do you feel competitive?
Because I want to lose the weight.
Perfect. That's the thought. I want to lose this weight. That's the thought part. I want to lose this weight, leads to competitive or driven, probably.
Right, driven, yeah.
Which leads to, you know, following your plan, making your plan, doing the things, you know, all the things you're doing, which results in weight loss, right?
Yeah.
Because you're working the plan, right? So that's it. That's the thought work.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's your model right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have one of your effort moments, that's when you sit down and you say, okay, what am I feeling right now? What am I thinking? And why am I thinking this? And why am I feeling this? That's when you do that thought work. Okay.
I don't know how to do them right though. Like when I put it in Ask Coaches, it's like, I'm always wrong. I don't know.
We clean models because that's what we're paid to do. Okay. That's how we can. Yeah. I mean, I can't have a conversation with you and Ask Coaches. All I can do is, I would clean this and I would do this and this, and it's up to you to decide I did it wrong or to decide, oh, look, these are the changes she made so I can do this next time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's probably, part of
I just need more practice at it then. Yeah.
Look, you're a June baby. Nobody's going to get the model in 6 weeks.
Okay.
Okay. Nobody's going to do them perfectly in 6 weeks, but the fact that you're doing them is amazing. Okay.
Well, I'm making myself do them because I don't know what to do them for. I don't know what I should be doing them for. Like, I'd rather do a journal thought download and just like 2 minute set a clock timer for 10 minutes and just write.
Uh-huh.
Then figure out how to pick it apart and do a thought down or a model on it.
Okay.
Because so I don't know how to do that.
Pick it apart. All you have to do is take your thought download. And what I do when I'm looking at y'all's thought downloads is I read them and I find the painful thought. The one that I think is bothering you the most.
Okay.
And I pull that one out and I either put it in a model for you based on what you've written, or I tell you, this is the thought you need to put in the model.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's okay to put your whole thought download in a coaching thing.
Absolutely. If you want to
ask
Coaches and say, help me find my model. Absolutely. We'll do that.
Oh, okay.
But just remember when you put a thought in a model, you're only putting one sentence in. Okay. That's a really big key, because if you put two or three sentences in, you might actually have two or three models, because each sentence could create a different feeling.
Okay.
And different feelings create different actions. So if you put in the model, if your thought line is, I'm really driven to lose this weight, or I really want to lose this weight, but I don't want to give up sweets.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right.
Yeah.
Think about how I really want to lose this weight and I don't want to give up sweets. Two totally different feelings, right?
Right.
So I really want to give up, I really want to lose this weight leads to driven. I don't want to give up sweets leads to deprived or restricted.
Right. Okay.
We even have positive and negative going on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're not going to get it perfect. I'm not going to get it perfect all the time, but I can at least help you fine tune your models so that you can go back and learn from the suggestions that we give you for them.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Is it more important to do the models than to do I don't have a whole lot of recovery worksheets to do right now. Right?
Okay.
Because I'm so driven.
if you have to pick, I would always thought download. Always thought.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
The model is optional. If you really want to see how a thought creates a result, if you're that technical about it, do models all day long. All right. But I would definitely thought download every day. And that the thought download is the Dear Diary journal entry, where you just write whatever comes into your mind for 2 to 5 minutes and you just get it all out on paper. Okay. Now, you do a recovery worksheet for two different situations. You either do it because you ate off plan, or you do
even
it
if you ate off plan healthier.
All right. I'll come back to that.
Okay.
That's a really good, I actually just answered that in Ask Coaches. That's a really good question.
Okay.
The easy one is if you ate past plus two, always, no matter what.
Okay. If okay. So plus two, always.
Plus two, always.
Okay.
Now, when you eat off plan, you eat off plan for one of two reasons. The first one is for some reason, what you planned is unavailable. You either don't have time to fix it. The chicken's gone bad in the refrigerator.
Yes, that's my life.
Something like that happens. Yeah. Somebody ate your food. Something like that happens. Yeah. If you're good with that reason for eating off plan and you've eaten the same level of food, like, you know, you had chicken and broccoli planned and you didn't go eat McDonald's.
right.
Then I don't think you need a recovery worksheet. You've had to change the plan because... Right. For a, you know, for a reason that's, you know, unavoidable.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I'm still eating a protein, a vegetable, and, you know, not eating dessert. And
Now, let's say you have chicken and broccoli planned and you just don't feel like chicken and broccoli. I've had chicken and broccoli for 2 weeks. I just do not feel like having chicken and broccoli.
Which is my favorite meal in the world, which cracks me up that you guys always talk about that as the demon meal. It's my favorite.
So if it's a bullshit thought like that, and you change it to pork and green beans, you might want to do a recovery worksheet just to see why you're giving into I just don't feel like it.
Okay, so the don't feel like it would result in even if it's a healthy option, it's a don't feel like it. Okay.
I have done recovery worksheets on bananas before.
Okay.
And it's not because it was a bad food. It's because of the thought that led to me eating it was this might not be enough because I'm not going to eat again for a while. Well, that doesn't mean I get to eat a banana. That means I get to see what the day holds for me. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That was planning to not be hungry later because I ate a banana. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Understand? So that now I do. So that makes me feel a lot better.
Now the difference between the two pager and the 2 minute drill, the two pager is going to have you go a little bit deeper into the reasons behind your overeat or your off plan eat. The 2 minute drill is fine. Whichever one you decide you want to do, it just depends on how deep you want to go and how much time you have. Either one is fine. Okay. You get to pick.
So it just gives me another option. It's not that one is for more types of things and one is for something else. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Either one is fine.
Okay. I'm such a student here. Okay. I feel very clinical right now.
No, this is great. I'm sure there's like I told you, I answered the question about the off-plan eat in Ice Coaches today. So, you know, there are others with that question as well.
Good. And then the last one then, I guess, is the... what's the difference between plus two and plus three? Like, you guys go up to 10, you know, and I'm thinking five would be uncomfortable, you know, but five is 10 to me. So, I mean, I get the little sigh. If I get to like plus four or five, I get started to get a little crabby, you know, or
plus four or plus what's five the difference? Like a bowling ball in your stomach. I mean, we're talking heaviness in your stomach by about plus five. Like, right?
So like heartburn and
yeah. You've way overeaten if you've gone to plus five.
Okay. So plus then what's three? Plus three?
Plus three. Well, do you know
I could have gone to plus three 100 times, I guess.
Sure.
I
mean, well, you might have. You might have.
And I don't know.
And it's gonna feel differently for everyone.
Oh, okay.
So if you're eating to plus two, you're staying you're staying satisfied for about 4 hours afterwards.
Okay.
Okay. You don't have any heaviness in your stomach. Plus three, you start to feel a little bit of heaviness probably. plus four, you definitely have some heaviness in your stomach. Sometimes I look at how tired I am after I eat. That can have an effect on me.
Oh, sure.
Like if I eat, if I have overeaten, I'm going to get sleepy after my meal. If I've eaten plus two, I'm going to feel good. I'm not going to get the sleepies after my meal.
Okay.
I was telling somebody the other day, one of the other ways I find plus two is I actually, there's a voice in my head that says, you think you're at your plus two yet? I wonder if that's plus two. And then I know that's probably
That's in my head all the time. Like, yeah. Is this plus two? Is this what it feels like?
Well, yeah. It's not.
And half the time it's plus one because then I'm hungry again in 2 hours.
So. Well, it's not me questioning myself. It's like a suggestion. It's like the opposite of the urge. It's like I'm eating and, you know, enjoying my meal and talking to my husband. And this thought, I get this thought, you might be close to plus two. And I'll be like, crap.
Yes.
Still have food.
Is this yummy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't.
Okay. So it's not me questioning. Well, is that plus two or is that plus two? Is that plus two? It's almost like a thought that just pops in.
Okay.
For me, anyway. Okay. But I'm practicing this. You might not have that thought.
Well, no, mine is constantly doing it. Like I'll eat three or four bites and go, is this plus two? Because or is this plus one?
If you're doing that, I would answer the question. I would journal. I would sit there. I'd have a piece of paper with me and I'd write about, okay, this is what I feel. This is what I feel. I'm not sure what this is, but this is how my body feels, how my stomach feels, my throat feels, my head feels, my this, my that. And then, okay, I'm going to try three more bites. This is what I feel. This is what's different. And do that over the course of several days, and you'll be able to figure out the difference between plus one, plus two.
And then I'll have to do my thought download on why my husband's making fun of me and how I feel about that for writing it at mealtime.
Well, you just ask him. Are you at plus two? If not, here's a sheet of paper.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Because I know a lot of this is the June baby stuff, right? I know a lot of people know this stuff so well by now. And
here's what I'll tell you, too. Everybody's different. Your plus two is going to feel a little bit different for you than someone else's, than mine will.
Okay.
So I can tell you, some people say at minus two, they have a stomach growl. Mine hits about minus four or minus five. I'm just not a growler. Okay.
Well, I worried about the podcast that I just listened to Corinne saying, you might be at a plus three if you're not losing, right? And I seem to lose every other week. Like I do nothing. And then the next week it's like 2.5 to 3 pounds
That's just your body's natural rhythm.
So then it's like, well, maybe I wasn't at plus three. Maybe I really was getting hungry because I was eating, you know. So I question myself on everything right now just because I'm still figuring out.
Well, if just watch that pattern. That just might be your body's way of doing things. You just might readjust every couple of weeks and figure that out. But she is right. Of course, Corinne is right. If you're not losing weight, you probably need to reevaluate your plus two.
Okay. And now that I've lost 27 pounds since I've joined Groupies, I do probably have to adjust, right? I mean, I don't know how many pounds it takes to start having to adjust, but, cause this is the most I've ever lost on any plan since trying.
And you might be naturally adjusting as well. If you're really trying to find plus two, you might be naturally adjusting rather than visually saying, oh, well, you know, this is what got me to plus two a couple weeks ago. This is going to be it. You know,
I do that. Yeah. Unfortunately, I do that too. I portion out what I think is going to be enough. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks. That's helpful because I took a lot of notes and now I'm kind of feel better prepared because I didn't want to not do the thought stuff. Right. But it was like, this is too easy. Why is this too easy? And then I realized it's because I'm too driven right now, like not too driven, but I'm super motivated and I'm super psyched and and I love being and watching everybody else's accomplishments.
Thought work is going to become really important for you when you're like, I'm sick of this.
Right. Well, that's what I'm afraid. I won't know how to do it. So I'm really trying to learn it.
Yeah.
Laura says, I just don't know what to write about.
She says, my plus two has changed 5 times since January.
Since January. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's not very long.
Yeah. So,
okay.
That's why you don't necessarily pre-portion. I mean, you can to put the food on your plate. Just be aware of where you are.
I did have to learn to stop drinking water at dinner. because it was changing what I thought I was at, and then I was starving like an hour and a half later. Yeah. So that I learned really fast. Well, thank you. I really appreciate your help.
All right.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye. Jana? You are next. Oh, you just turned your video off. I saw you for a minute.
Hold on.
There you go. Oh, one more time.
Oh, did I do it? There.
Okay. Got it. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I wanted to talk about, I guess I have such a hard time journaling.
Okay.
Even getting started journaling.
Okay.
It's been an issue my whole life. I'll start a journal, you know, and start writing about my feelings. And then I seem like I get bored, or I just feel like, I'm just doing too much bitching throughout the whole thing. You know, I don't know. I'm like, forget it. And then I put it down and I don't do it.
Okay. So do you say forget it because you feel like you're doing too much bitching, or why?
Well, I think it's because of that, but also think because I just get like bored hearing writing all my thoughts down, and it's like I don't even know how to explain it.
You want to give me an example?
Well, excuse me, I'm starting to lose my voice. In the past, when I've had, I guess, problems or needed to just vent, and I would sit there and start journaling. Then I would sit there, I would write a little bit, and it may be for a day or two. And then I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. It's like, I can't keep bringing it up or hashing it out still, or, you know, reliving it, I guess.
Why not?
I don't know.
Okay.
I guess. Because
it's uncomfortable?
Probably.
So when you write about it for a day or two, and then you say, I'm not doing this anymore. Then when you start writing again, are you writing about the same thing?
Yeah, it's usually the same topic, but like moving on.
Okay.
You know.
So basically, when you ignore it, you're not resolving it.
Right.
Okay. So what a thought download does, it doesn't fix things. It shows you what you're thinking.
Right.
I have written thought downloads before and got back and read them and said, I cannot believe I'm telling myself this crap. I mean, it like, not only sometimes are they just ugly about me, you know, like, you'll never get this, or, you know, whatever, you're not good enough.
Right.
They're not the truth half the time. You know, it's like my brain is throwing me shade. It's like,
right.
Why are you even saying these things to yourself? That's not even true. But when we leave it in our head, and it, and we don't get it out on paper, and we don't like look at it and say, why am I even saying these things? Then it feels true. It stays in there, and it rolls around, and it creates this big story and this drama and this stuff that's going on in our head, which affects our mood and the way we show up. You know, because you got this big drama ball in your head, picture like this big wad of yarn in your head that's all tangled up. That's just a hot mess. I mean, it affects how you show up. It affects the work that you do and the relationships that you have. But if you write about it and you start to untangle it and you look back at it and you say, you know, nope, that one's no good. That one's no good. Yeah, that thought, that one hurts. That's the one I need to work on. That's the one I need to really think about whether or not I want to keep thinking. It feels true, but is it really true? Right. Do you see what I'm saying? Getting it out. Sometimes when I get up in the morning, I'm one of those people that does not wake up easy. Okay. I wake up early, but it takes me an hour to, you know, and a shower and a cup of coffee to be human. Okay.
Right. I'm the same way.
I wake up most days. I wake up sad and overwhelmed and anxious because I immediately go to, I have so much to do today. Well, how am I going to get everything done? I don't know if I can do this. That's where my brain goes immediately.
Right.
And if I thought download about that, and I thought download about why I'm overwhelmed and what I have to do, all of a sudden I have this to-do list that doesn't seem so bad.
Right.
So I have these practice thoughts in my head, these thoughts that just pop in that aren't really true, that I know how to overcome. But if I leave them in my head and I continue thinking, I don't know how I'll ever do this. I don't know why. I'm such a poser. Why am I even showing up today? You know, what? Mm-hmm. How am I going to get all this done? How am I going to be the person I need to be? You know, when I'm asking myself all those questions, got all those thoughts in my head, how do you think I'm going to show up? Right? I'm going to show up on this call and at work and doing my thing with all these crappy thoughts in my head. But if I journal about them and I put them on the paper and I say, you know, this one isn't true. This one isn't true. Look, I can't believe I tell myself that one. This is the one I probably need to work on. You know, do I really want to believe that? And how can I level that one up? Then it clears, it makes space in there to really get the work done and to be the person I want to be. That's why you journal. The other reason you journal is if you overeat, or if you binge, or if you hide, you need to find out why. You need to figure out why. You know, what's if you overeat consistently every day at 4 o'clock and you're not journaling, you're not figuring out why you're overeating so that you can stop overeating at 4 o'clock. Right. Okay, you're just letting everything sit in your head in that big tangled mess of yarn or whatever visual you want to, the spider web of thoughts, whatever visual you want to give it, and you're not learning, you know, what thoughts are leading you to your overeats.
Right.
You're just repeating the cycle.
Well, you know, when I had my call with Corinne and about my I can't even think now. just the other day, and she had told me that I needed to write a letter to my kids, telling them, I guess, why I'm doing, you know, my weight loss, because I want them to be healthy and alive for 100 years, you know, whatever. But also a letter to me. And I sit there and I start and I'm like, it's like, I don't know, writer's block. It's like I can't get truly started.
Okay, tell me about the letter you're supposed to write to yourself. Tell me more about that. Who is it from?
It's from me.
Mm-hmm.
To me.
Okay.
Um,
is it from you a year from now?
She didn't say. She just said, write a letter to yourself. Mm-hmm. Your powerful thoughts, I guess, I forget how she put it, because I don't have my notes in front of me. on how she put it. I get basically of why I'm losing my weight.
Okay. So why are you losing your weight?
Well, that was one of the things. We kind of determined that one of my powerful thoughts was that I'm doing it for my kids.
Okay.
So that they live a healthy, long life. One of my compelling reasons, but also for my health, wanting to get rid of my type 2 diabetes and the aches and the pains and the joint issues, you know, that I know that are related to my weight.
All right. So tell me about your kids. How many do you have?
I have three. I have a 28-year-old daughter, a 16-year-old son, and a 10-year-old son.
Okay. And so what do you think? How would they benefit if you lost weight?
Well, they would see me getting healthier and I could show them that, you know, in order to live a healthier life, you know, you don't need to, you know, eat all the junk food and mm-hmm. all the crap food, and you know, it's better for you, it'll help you in the long run because it'll keep certain issues away that we have a tendency to have in our family.
Okay. And, so yeah. This person that's writing this letter, let's picture her a year from now. This is Jana in July of 2020. Okay. You've lost 50 pounds.
Okay.
All right. So Jana in July of 2020, who's lost 50 pounds, what are you doing differently? Are you walking more? Are you, what else are you doing? What's different?
Not having as many desserts during the week.
Okay.
That's one of my big things.
All right. So you've cut back on desserts. Right. Have you come off any medications?
Hopefully so. Yes.
We're just going to say yes. We've come off of, whatever medications.
Right.
You're more comfortable in your clothes.
Yes.
What else are you doing? Are you doing anything physically? Are you like hiking or biking or spending more time outside or swimming or going to the beach or what are you?
Well, hopefully swimming and spending more time outside. Those are the things that my two boys love to do.
Okay. Okay. So that's how you write your letter. What are your boys' names?
Ryan and Jackson.
Okay. Dear Ryan and Jackson, you just start talking about, you know, over the past year, I've taken better care of myself because I love you and because I want to show you what it's like to live a healthy life. These are the things I'm doing now. These are the things I did in order to get to where I am right now. Okay. And then you do the same thing for yourself. You know, you write to yourself today from this person that you pictured a year from now. That's 50 pounds lighter. That's spending time with her kids outside. that's come off this medication. These are the things that we've done together. These are the things that you're going to do over the next year. And here's how you're going to accomplish this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Sort of?
Yeah.
So if this Jana that weighs 50 pounds less in a year and is hiking, how does she feel about herself?
More confident.
Mm-hmm. She proud of the work she's done?
Yeah.
Has it been easy? What'd she do when it wasn't easy?
Didn't give up.
Mm-hmm. Those are the things you write about. Those are the things you tell yourself. You just picture that, Jana. You know, picture her with a smile and with love and accomplishment, and know that she is waiting for you in July of 2020. And when she talks to you, she's telling you all these things that you did over the past year that have really, really leveled up your life. Physically, emotionally, with your relationships, from a health standpoint. That's what Corinne's asking you to do. Okay. Now, are you crying too? Did I get a two for this call?
I did.
I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah.
It really is an amazing exercise. When did you start?
I'm a September baby.
So okay.
I started and I kind of drag-assed and
that's all right.
Half-assed. And
you
then
go...
January, I kind of kicked it in gear and then okay. kicked it in gear a little bit more in April.
You go back to No BS.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the Creating Your Future Self module. Unit 4 is future self. That's pretty much the exercise we just went through. It's picturing, and I just gave you a year. It doesn't have to be. I mean, I did future self with somebody not too long ago, and it was December. I mean, I just arbitrarily picked a year because I lost my weight about 50 pounds a year. Okay. Right. So about a pound a week. So that's just easy math for me, but you can do it. You can do it 10 years out. You can do it 1 year out. You can do it. I like to keep the distance out a little bit shorter because it seems to be more relatable. It seems to be easier to picture. You know, if I were to say, picture Jana that's lost 150 pounds, you'd be like, oh, I don't even know who she is. You know?
Well, right. And I think I had posted something to ask coaches several months ago because me being overweight, even though I've been overweight probably since my 30s, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, it's relatively new to me because I don't see and I don't think of myself as the overweight Jana. I think of myself as the thin Jana that I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has always been my issue of being able to see my future self is because I already see her. It's like I feel like I am her already.
Then why are you trying to lose weight?
For when I look in pictures.
Oh, okay.
So when I look in pictures, then I realize, oh no, you're not. But on a daily basis in my mind, I'm like, I mean, I really don't think of myself as fat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I don't know. I just have a hard time getting there, I guess.
I would think that would make it easier because you know what she looks like and what she feels like. So that when you look in the mirror, you can already picture her. There's so many people that can't picture a thin self or that lose their weight and still see their their bigger self.
Right.
So you know how good it feels. You know what it's going to, you know, what it's going to look like. That makes your future self letter, your future self person more real.
Right.
Okay. So look at it from that perspective and just make her, keep her in your mind and make her your goal so that when you look in the mirror, you see her.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that help? You understand your letters a little bit more now and how important journaling is? I tell you, this little journal of mine is just this big, right? It's not very big. It's lined. Uh-huh. It was $5 at Michael's, and they have super cute ones.
Right.
It's nice and light, and this is where I just journal every day. And I use different colored pens because I'm a dork, and I like to have colorful things.
I have a bunch of them.
Yeah. I have like this whole thing of, I mean, sometimes that's all it takes is some fun pens, right? But seriously, sometimes I picture my brain as that mess of computer cords behind my desk or in front of my desk on the other side of my desk.
Right.
And I just sometimes have to go in there and just pull them out and untangle them and set them all straight and look at them and make sure they're healthy, make sure they're not frayed, and just lay them out and say, okay, this is how I picture my brain, and I want to make sure everything is cool here because it affects how I show up.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
You got anything else? Oh, I think she just left me. All right. Bye, Jana. Sarah, you're up. Uh-oh, I just lost Sarah, too. What happened? Sarah, if you're still here, go ahead and raise your hand again. Not sure what happened. That was weird. All right, I'm going to do the Q&A to see if Sarah comes back. If not, she's the only one, guys, with her hand raised. She was the only one with her hand raised. So if anybody else wants to talk to me tonight, go ahead and raise your hand. All right, Q&A. Stephanie says, I feel like I'm looking for feelings about my eating that I don't have. I'm not an emotional eater, but I've noticed I'm a social eater. So how do I do the thought download without a feeling? Well, you always have a feeling when you have a thought, and you always have a feeling when you have an action. But you may not be an emotional eater, and that's okay. But I would ask you why you're here. If you're not an emotional eater, you know, why, what's going on? What has you wanting to lose weight? Is it just because you're a social eater? If it is, then why are you overeating in social situations? That's what you want to thought download about. Okay. So is it, oh, Sarah's back. Good. Hang on, Sarah. I'll get to you in just a second. So is it that you're just not paying attention, or is it that you're afraid you're going to be left out? Or is it that you don't want anyone else to question what you're eating? Sometimes it's, you know, answers like that that you find when you thought download about overeating in social situations. So you just ask yourself, why did I overeat tonight? Why could I not say no to, you know, the extra French fries or the extra glass of wine or whatever it is? Okay. There's always, always a question you can ask yourself about your overeat. Okay. All right. Let me go over here and grab Sarah. I hope it wasn't me that messed you up. Not sure what happened. Oh, there you are. What happened?
That was me.
Okay, good. At least I didn't dump you. Uh-oh, I can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
So I was going to come on the call, or I'd been planning about coming on the call to talk about just falling off plan, but I ended up getting a just kind of random job offer today for going back to a company I'd worked for in the past. And so it was a new offer. So I'd be driving. I'd have to drive like an hour. Just a little backstory. I currently work from home. Mm-hmm. And I have a little 1.5-year-old boy. So I've gotten this new offer. I was, you know, really excited. It was kind of out of the blue. But now there's a lot of different thoughts coming in, you know, with having to, you know, drive and leave my little one. He goes to daycare now, but I'm usually the one that takes him in and picks him up. So I'm having a lot of thoughts around that. And definitely it's already, this just came about today, and I've already just been like binge stress, like buffer eating around it.
So why are you stressed about this?
I think, I don't know. It's just changing a job is stressful, I guess.
That's a thought. And
having to deal with that.
And why is changing a job stressful?
Well, I don't know. I guess just with so much change that comes with that, with doing a different type of work and mm-hmm. going from working from home to mm-hmm. driving. So I don't know. It's just so different too. And this is my first kid. So I feel like that's been like my whole life for this first like year and a half is just, you know, working from home. And then that's like my main priority is him. So I don't know. And I can kind of tell when I was talking to my husband about it that he, you know, is supportive of it, but I'm definitely getting the undertone that he'd like me to stay with the job I have now. So I don't know. I mean, how do you, I guess, I just don't know. I struggle a lot with making the right choice, I guess.
Okay. So you have a choice to make?
Yes.
Right? You have an yes. evaluation to do?
Yes.
Then you get to decide what the choice is going to be?
Okay.
Right? And then you decide that was the right choice. No going back.
That's this what is the right one. Is getting into, I'm struggle with like making the choice and then mm-hmm. I'm in it and mm-hmm. then a lot of like regret.
You're talking to the decision making, not queen right here. Have you heard that podcast? Corinne coaches me all the time on making decisions. But here's what I've learned, okay? You get to decide what the best decision is, and then you get to decide that it's the best decision.
Okay.
And then you move forward from there. She bought a house in 5 hours.
I would have like a heart attack.
I would too.
Yeah.
But she didn't, which means it can be done. All right.
So basically just you like talk your way through it, pros and cons. And then whatever you decide is that's just it. And you don't sit there and dwell on.
Right. You just decide. And then you decide that was the choice I made. So it's the right choice.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I'm super simplifying this because you really can super simplify this. What you're doing is rationalizing and justifying and thinking and confusing yourself. And all the time you're making yourself stressed out. So you go and eat.
Yeah.
Which solves nothing.
Yeah.
Which means no evaluation, no assessment, no decision. I'm just over here eating instead.
Yeah.
So why are you eating? You're avoiding making the decision.
Okay.
Okay. So how do you solve that? You make a list. These are the reasons to take the job. These are the reasons not to take the job. Go over it with your husband. You guys decide. Boom. Done. No eating. Decision made. Decision, choice made, right decision.
Okay.
Seriously, it can be as easy as that if you decide it is.
Okay. Because, yeah, so, that's definitely, now that you say that, it sounds super simple, but that makes sense to just, this is the decision and we mm-hmm. don't sit here and get into the new, you know, mm-hmm. say I take the different job or stay where I'm at and then sit there and look at, you know, dwell on it or.
Right. And then you take, let's say you don't take the job. If you haven't decided that that's the right decision, then you start to live in the place of, well, I wonder what would have happened if I'd taken that job. You know, I wonder if I would have liked.
Yep.
Just that's turn all, currently just at turn all that off. That's unproductive.
Yep. Right? And that's what I've been thinking is I used to work for this company and I had left. And literally ever since I had left, a lot of like thoughts of, well, you know, if I was still there, or like always kind of the inner dialogue of, you know, what could have been. So
which is totally unproductive, because it, what could have been is not going to happen because you chose a different path, and the path you chose was the right one because it's the one you chose.
Yep.
Okay. That's all right.
Yep.
So give me the one strongest reason to take the new job.
I would say it'll be a position with a lot more growth. Like, I kind of feel like the company I work for now, I work from home. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of just in this box of, this is going to be my role and it won't change. And, you know, there isn't a large increase. I mean, there isn't room for an increase in salary, really.
Okay.
Where this new job, there's, you know, kind of sky's the limit and a lot of room to grow, I guess. And a lot more money.
All right. And what's the one best reason to stay home?
I would say save myself from, you know, 2.5 hours of driving every day and being here for my son, I guess.
Okay. So your son is going to take himself to and from daycare, or your husband's going to do that, right?
No, my husband will probably, I take him and pick him up now, but my husband would probably take him, and then I would ideally pick him up.
Okay. So that's kind of the pain point for you for staying at home. Is that, so what you need to do is look at that and decide, is that doable? And is that what you want? And is that okay? Right? You know, is husband taking son to daycare okay? Yeah. Or is it not okay? And why?
Yeah.
And then you look over here and you say, you're spending 2.5 hours in the car okay? What else? What could I do with that time? What does that mean for me? You know, what is, and just, you know, give yourself, the biggest, best piece of advice I can give you is to give yourself a time limit. I have to make, and I do this, I swear to God, I do this now. I'm going to make this decision by 3:00.
Okay.
And most of the time I beat it, right? I'm like, I already know what the decision is. You already know what the decision is.
Yeah.
You're just disaster planning both sides right now as an avoidance technique. And then you're going and eating too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I think you know in your heart of hearts what you want to do.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I bet you do. I bet if you were to get your 2 sheets of paper and you wrote down everything on this sheet, you know, about why you'd go and why you'd stay.
Yeah.
I bet you'd see it pretty clearly.
Okay.
Could be wrong. You'll have to let me know if I was wrong.
Okay.
Okay. So seriously, do your work, set a timeline, set a, you know, a decision deadline. That's the word I want. Set a deadline and decide that the decision you make is the right one.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I can do that.
And no more eating. Don't avoid this decision. Just make it. You'll feel so much better once it's made, because you know it'll be right. Okay. All right. You just did something that turned your voice off.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
That's all right.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. One more. Karen. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. So I just have to say, I listened to like a bazillion podcasts on Corinne's site, heard your voice a bazillion times, and now I get to see your face and you look exactly like your voice.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. You have such a nice voice.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome. So I joined in June. It was a birthday gift to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Full disclosure, I am a total techno turd. So when I joined, I literally didn't know what to do. I became really overwhelmed by all the emails.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went really hard into the orientation and everything that came after the orientation. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of listening, which was good, because it increased my exercise, because I was usually walking my dogs. That was the upside. But once all that was done, I kind of felt like, okay, you've listened to a lot of stuff. And I really didn't know what to do next. But that being said, I was actually losing weight following the 4 fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
I realized in listening to some of the live recordings and trying to kind of catch up as opposed to going, I felt like a little bit backwards the way that I did it. I've noticed that the one thing I'm really not doing, because I don't think I totally know how to do it, is any of the stuff that requires writing. Like, I've never been a diary journaler, so when I sit down with blank paper, I draw pictures. Okay. The thought download thing is a little bit confusing to me. Mm-hmm. And then today, but I don't know if it actually happened today, I was listening to a coaching call that Corinne was doing, and the last, I think it was the last person that she helped, was really upset about something that had happened to her. I think she came back to find out that her husband had made a bad decision, and she was really upset about it. And Corinne kept saying, he didn't do anything to you. It's your decision to think about it the way you want to think about it. And in my head, I was like, that makes no sense, because he really did something that's kind of rotten. And so that whole thought causes a reaction, that whole chain, mm-hmm. I kept trying to think about it. And I mean, A, my heart was breaking for the girl because she was so upset. And B, I've had the same thing happen where someone has done something horrible to me. And to try and apply that whole, it's not what happened to you, it's what you think about it. Mm-hmm. That to me is like a quantum leap.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what you're having trouble differentiating is a thought from a fact.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell me what happened. Tell me, just give me two sentences about what happened to this girl.
Okay.
What this husband did that was horrible.
So she went away with her kids, mm-hmm. came back to find out from her brother that her husband had gotten drunk and had three women friends over at the house.
Okay. So the C line, the fact of this is somebody said he got drunk and had three women friends at the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing you can prove.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, we have a thought about it. That's horrible. That's terrible. Mm-hmm. That's so painful. How could he do that? Those are all our thoughts mm-hmm. about what happened, about mm-hmm. what somebody said happened. Okay?
Okay.
The things people say are just neutral. All right? So I'm saying right now, that's a thought. You're thinking, she doesn't know what she's talking about. All right, that's your thought about what I said. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you say that something horrible happened to this girl, your thought is that it was horrible. You could have also said, oh, something very sad happened to that girl. Right?
Yeah.
Again, that's a thought.
Okay.
It's not provable. It's not, you know, because you said it was sad, I mean, because you said your thought was it's very sad or it's horrible or it's devastating. All of those are modifiers. They're all adjectives about what happened. They're not provable. A fact is always provable. We can prove that her neighbor told her these words. Okay. If she verified them with her husband, then, and he said, yes, that's true, then that's provable. It doesn't mean it was horrible. She decided it was horrible for whatever reason. Okay. And she can totally decide that. She can also decide it wasn't that big a deal because they were drunk and passed out.
So where Corinne's line of coaching kind of lost me, and this girl was saying, well, it really hurt my feelings, and now mm-hmm. I don't trust him, and I'm not mm-hmm. sure that this is where I belong.
Mm-hmm.
The way Corinne kept saying to her, well, that's just your thoughts. And I'm thinking, no, that was freaking terrible. That was terrible. And how could you not feel the way that she felt? And I couldn't follow Corinne's line.
But that's the thing. She was feeling.
Okay.
Which is okay. But she was feeling those things because of her thoughts, not because of what somebody did or said.
So how can you change your thoughts about something as concrete as that?
You can always change your thoughts about something.
Hmm.
You can always, I mean, her belief, her thought was that it was terrible and she can't trust him. That was her thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have to, I mean, she can choose that thought. She doesn't have to change it, but it's still a thought. It's not a fact that she can't trust him. It's not a fact that it was a horrible thing.
Okay.
Can't go to court and sit in front of a judge and convince a judge it was horrible. He's going to say no. He's going to say it's a thing. It's not, you know, somebody else might decide that was a slamming good time. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
So the point is for it to be a fact, everyone in the world would have to agree with you that it's a fact, that's the thing, that it's horrible. If it's horrible as a fact, everyone in the world would have to agree with you. And I bet you there's some guy somewhere out there who thinks getting drunk with three women is not horrible.
So how does she get past it? And the only reason I'm picking her is because I really lost the whole chain of thinking. I kept thinking.
Well, it's up to her how she gets past it. Okay. She can choose anything. She can choose any thought. She can choose any feeling. She can choose any action. Okay. She can leave him. She can forgive him. She can go to marriage counseling with him. She can talk to him. She can do anything she wants to do, you know, as a result of what happened. She gets to pick. That's the beautiful thing. But she always picks based from a thought. You know, if she picks from, that was a horrible thing to do, I bet you, you know, her action is not going to be welcome him home with open arms.
No, it wasn't at all. I mean,
right. That's
exactly right.
But if she were to pick, you know, I've really thought about this and I've looked at it and I think I'm going to forgive him, then it would be different. She gets to decide all of that based on, you know, the work that she does, the coaching that she gets, the things that she decides to do. I mean, she gets to decide all of that. But the important thing for you to see is saying it was horrible is a thought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing what somebody wrote here. So what happened is the fact, but there's no modifiers other than three and drunk. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think I'm I still definitely feel like my head is in a fog. All right,
let's use 9/11 as an example. Okay. Yeah,
that's a good one because I'm here in New Jersey and we lost
right.
in my town. So go.
Okay.
Go with that.
So 9/11, because this is something that's going to be more real to you. We had four planes, right? Mm-hmm. That crashed either into buildings or into the ground or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fact. Four planes crashed. How did you feel about that?
Oh my God. It was devastating.
It was devastating. How do you think the Taliban, Bin Laden, all those folks, whatever that group is, how do you think they felt about it?
Oh, they were pretty happy.
Exactly. See how we think it's horrible because of a thought that we have. They thought it was the best day ever because of a thought that they had. So looking at 9/11, the fact is not that it was a horrible day. The fact is that four planes crashed and that many people died. The perspective, the spin on it is all based on our thoughts, whether we thought it was horrible, whether we thought it was the best day ever, whether we just didn't care. I'm sure there's people in the world that didn't care that four planes crashed in the US that day. Right. Oh, that's just the news. Right?
Yeah.
That's the difference between a fact, the C line of the model, and your thought about it.
What's the C line?
The fact? Circumstance.
Oh, circumstance. Okay.
It's the very top line of the model.
Fact starts with F.
Yeah, right, right.
The C, you said C is, and I was like, wait, what?
Fact is easier to say, right? Same thing. Yes. Circumstance, yes. And fact, right?
Okay.
But that's the... Apply that now to what you heard on that coaching call.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
You think it was devastating and horrible, and she does too. There's going to be people in the world that think that was probably a super good time, right?
Yeah,
good for him.
Four of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does. And the reason why I used that person as an example is because something had happened in my family and I was listening to the whole, well, that's what you think. And I'm thinking, no, that's really true. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to apply that to something that happened between my mother, my brother, and I just this week. And my head was spinning around. I couldn't figure out how to sort out what really was causing a problem for me, what really happened, what was just a thought, what was like, it was just like a big old scrambled egg.
Yeah. You can bet it's a thought if it has an adjective in the sentence.
Adjective in the sentence. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because whenever we apply an adjective, we're describing it based mm-hmm. on what we think about it.
Okay.
Terrible, horrible, great, you know, best day ever, whatever. If it has a modifier, some kind of modifier, some kind of descriptive word, it's going to be a thought.
So if I say, oh, my brother sent me a scathing email, scathing is the adjective, and
yeah.
But what if it was scathing?
He sent you an email.
He did.
That's the thought. That's the fact. He sent you an email. It mm-hmm. was scathing. Could have also been direct. Could have also been misspelled. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been just an email. Could have been just, well, there's my brother popping off again. You know, whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Maybe that's what I have to think. Popping off.
Yeah.
Okay.
If 100 people read that email, would they all say it was scathing? Or would you say it's scathing because you were emotionally tied to it?
I think a few people might say it was scathing.
But would 100? Would everyone in the world say it was scathing?
Well, I can't.
Would your brother say it was scathing?
Oh, no.
He would say. No, there you go. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure he wouldn't. Or maybe, he wouldn't.
All right. So your brother sent an email. You decided it was scathing.
Okay. And then next, I have to decide how I'm going to react or respond.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
I guess it just takes a lot of practice.
It does. It takes a lot of really thinking about the difference between you having an opinion about what happened and what, you know, what the bones of what happened is. Okay.
Okay.
If you can separate your opinions from the actual facts of the matter, then you've been able to separate the facts from the thoughts. If you're like stating the news, my brother sent an email. I mean, it's almost the C line, the fact part of the model is almost boring. It's almost boring. Always nouns, or it's something someone said,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like 9/11, 4 planes crashed. That's it. Boring. You don't know. I mean, you could say 4 planes crashed in the U.S. on September 11th, 2001. Okay. Were they, you know, big jets? Did they crash into buildings? Or were they little model airplanes that went down in my backyard?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how horrible was it? How terrible was it? Or how great was it? Depends on your opinion about it.
Opinion. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then can you just go back to my question about the writing stuff down and me drawing mm-hmm. pictures instead?
Mm-hmm.
The 24-hour meal plan, it doesn't go well for me because I wake up in the morning and in my head I say, okay, you don't get hungry in the morning, so bring yogurt and blueberries to work. And then usually don't get hungry until you come home. So have the leftover chicken and rice with spinach. And I usually stick to that because I'm not really a snacker, but writing it all down, like I've seen samples of other people's pages and I'm like, whoa, I don't think that's a lot. And then the whole journaling, like I literally don't know where to start. So like I said, I draw pictures. So I end up not doing really any of the writing side of it. So even though I'm losing weight, I think it's going to catch up to me that I'm not doing the other piece.
So here's where I want you to start. I want you to start. Don't worry about the journaling just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Start by writing your plan. If you're going to write something, write down your plan.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be like a list of ingredients for every recipe.
Mm-hmm.
It can say chicken casserole. It doesn't have to say chicken, rice, cream of chicken soup, you know, green beef, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Chicken casserole, broccoli, whatever. Okay. That simple. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Start there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, I'm going to tell you what my plan for today said. And I'll tell you, I'll even tell you how many words it was. I'm checking my phone because I Slack it to Betsy and Mary Jo. So it's right here.
Did you say you Slack it?
Slack. Yeah, it's a messaging app.
Oh.
Okay, bacon. I mean bacon. Breakfast says bacon banana cheese stick. That was bacon, breakfast.
Bacon banana cheese stick?
Bacon, comma, banana, comma, cheese stick.
Okay.
Lunch says big ass salad. B-A-S, actually. It says B-A-S. And dinner says cauliflower crust pizza.
Okay, I can do that.
How hard is that, right? It's not hard at all. You don't, I mean, I could have said at lunch, I could have said the salad mix with the sesame seeds and the vinaigrette with some tomatoes and some cucumbers and some rotisserie chicken and some feta cheese. I think that was all that was on it. Or I could just say big ass salad.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. See, it's you're overcomplicating it. All right. So just go ahead. The important thing is that you make the decision ahead of time so that there's no negotiation when it comes time to eat. All right. Okay. So you already have, you know, you're not listening to that brain back here going, oh, are you sure you want a salad and not a cheeseburger? No, I've got a salad planned. This is what I'm going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Last thing. What's Marco Polo?
Marco Polo is a video messaging app on your phone. So you actually download the app. It's free. You set up a friend, so like an accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
You click start and you record a video and it sends to their phone. Okay? They call it up. They listen to your video. They can click start and send you one back. It's video it's video messaging, like text messaging, except you talk.
Oh, okay, because people are talking about it, and all I could think of was that game in the swimming pool.
Right, right. I don't know why it's called Marco Polo, because I guess it's because it's Marco Polo, and because it's back and forth, and you're not talking at the same time.
Now that you told me what it is, that's exactly why it's called Marco Polo. All right, so people get accountability partners, and they Marco Polo?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people Marco Polo with their accountability partners. It's actually, I like to coach that way. I have a few private clients and a couple of them like to Marco Polo. That way I can see it's like coaching you. Mm-hmm. I can see, you know, get their body language and, you know, see their expressions and things like that, as opposed to, you know, an email or a message where I can't really get the whole picture.
Right. And you might perceive it as scathing when it's not really scathing.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Help? All right. Yeah, this was my first time, so I survived.
You did. You did good.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Let's do this question real quick and we'll be out. I think I may be at my goal weight. I initially chose 170. That was a number that I felt good at. I am currently at 182 and I feel strong and amazing in my body right now. My clothes from 170 pound days beautifully fit my current body and I am more active and toned than I was at 170. Is there a benefit from choosing a number versus how you feel in your body? Absolutely not. That's an easy question. I have 223 daily plans, 135 assessments, 37 recovery worksheets, and actively working on my four basics, learning from my choices. Thanks, Kathy, for some feedback. You know what, Holly? If you feel good where you are and, you know, your clothes fit and you love how you look, girl, you can choose maintenance whenever you're ready. We'll tell you this funny story. When I lost my weight, lost down to 150, I was wearing a size 8, size 10, you know, roughly around there. Size small tops, which, like, I was like, me in a small? That's pretty cool. When I lost weight with keto, years ago, the old kind of keto where like you had to pee on the stick and all that, I lost to 150 and I was wearing size 14 pants. So I totally get that you can change your body a little bit with exercise and that you can feel so much better, even a little bit heavier with exercise. And that's, you said you're feeling strong and amazing in your body. And I suspect that's why. So if you decide you're in maintenance and you are living the lifestyle you want, there's nothing wrong with staying exactly where you are. You get to choose, right? That's the beautiful thing about this program. The most important work that you're going to do is deciding what foods feel good, what exercise feels good, what weight feels good, all that for yourself in your body. Okay? That's what I got. Everybody have a great evening. Thanks for hanging in with me, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.